campers, while we're gathering around the campfire, we just want to let you know we are not what you would call experts. What we do have is a love for researching and discussing the lore of cryptids, creatures,
and an occasional spooky woman that can eat our soul.
So if you are in need of immediate help with the chupacabra in your yard, please consult someone else.
Also, this podcast isn't for kids. These campfire stories can contain graphic and explicit content that may not be suitable for young campers, so listener discretion is advised.
Kimmy's been roasting me for the last. We're not late because we were busy. We're late because Kimmy has been roasting me about everything I've ever done wrong my entire life.
It's okay because I just sent him a shit ton of artwork, so it balances out in the hierarchy of friendship.
Well, and Pablo's sitting here staring at me like, "Bro, you good?" No, I'm not. But here we are.
Fine.
Oh my goodness. Well, hey campers. My name's Kimmy, your professional roaster tonight, and I'm here with the roastee, my co-host, Ryan.
Welcome to Alluring, our folklore podcast, where we tell you the history and legends of all sorts of different lore and mythical creatures, like my love life, from all around the world.
I'm going to say it on the podcast, for the record. I got it all out of my system before the show. So, speaking of alluring mystical things, do you want to tell me your alluring thing this week?
Yeah.
It's so good.
Oh, man. Hopefully I wasn't muted for all that. I don't think I was. It's fine. Anyway.
I hope you were.
Well, definitely not in Zencaster, but maybe on YouTube. But we could fix that easily. What was my alluring fact? I had one, and I remember now. So my girl, Dolly Parton, love of my life, she performed the halftime show this Thanksgiving, and ooh-wee, she still got it.
It's Dolly Parton.
I don't know how old she is. She's old. She's up there. She was dressed as a cowgirls cheerleader performing, and my God, she still got it.
I saw that picture, and I was like, oh, that checks out.
Mm-hmm. She's a queen.
You know,
nothing else to say.
You don't age as much when you're non-problematic. You know what I mean?
It's true. Dolly Parton's going to live to be 300 years old.
She's going to look like that at 300, too.
Mm-hmm. Probably. Probably.
I hope she does. She's been nothing but a saint. She deserves it.
It's true. What did you find alluring this week?
Ooh, my alluring thing is I always love when I post something on social and it's followed by Ryan messaging me flabbergasted that it's one of my interests. Because I posted my Spotify rap. And if you're like, Kimmy looks like a person that listens to Florence and the Machine and Bon Iver and some stuff like that, you're correct. But my top one was modern baseball because I have a real soft spot for...
Oh, I hate worrying about the future.
What's it called? Like Midwestern?
Midwestern emo.
Midwestern emo. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine...
I'm not judging you. I love modern baseball. But I just did not expect in 2023 to see somebody's number one artist be modern baseball, but it's honestly, it's impressive. Yeah. I love that for you.
Yeah, major shout out to them. They really, I don't know, there's just something, they're like the perfect music for when I'm working on like my comic. Mm-hmm. It just fits the vibe. And I don't know, they have a chokehold on me. So clearly, if they sold merch, I would definitely have five tees.
I don't think they definitely broke up like a while ago, right?
Yeah. Yes, I know.
For a long time, I thought them and the Front Bottoms were the same band. turns out they're not.
There's another band the main singer from Blink-182 is in that I have both of them on my Spotify, but I thought they were the same band for
if it's the same people, I think it counts. What was your number one song?
Let me go to it real quick because it's one of those like long indie titles.
Oh, naturally.
I played it like a disgusting amount of times. Oh
yeah.
It's I Think You Were In My Profile Picture.
Nice,
so
nice.
It's the sad vibes, and it has the girl that sings.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
But
we need to post our rap side by side on our Instagram after we record, just to show the two drastically different vibes.
We're gonna I want to post the two of them with no context to whose is whose, so people have to guess.
Yeah, whose. I feel like it's gonna be easy, but yeah. Also, let me tell you how absolutely terrified I was that I'm Just Ken was gonna be my top five from Barbie. Because the amount of times I played that song this year, both ironically and unironically, I was like, fuck, that's gonna be it's in my 2023 playlist, but it's not, thank God it wasn't my top five.
Ryan's in the gym. Like, he's Ken enough.
Yeah. Can you feel the energy?
Oh my gosh, you even know it. That's your affirmation song in the mirror. I've
done it hundreds of times.
Not enough to be your top, but still in there.
Not enough to be my top. Oh, I won't say my top so that I guess just in case people can guess on the Instagram.
We'll go like from two down, you know?
Yeah.
Because my first one was very... checks out very well.
But yeah, my number one was The Hammer by Kublai Khan, Texas. It's very metal.
Nah.
Yeah.
I don't like the thing I like about like Midwestern emo is I like the soul
in it. Yeah.
Like I like the sad. I have no rage really in me. It's just a lot of tears, so that's what really speaks to me.
Mine was three metal bands, like a folk, I don't know, what would they be? I'd say they're kind of Midwestern emo, and then a country singer.
Yeah, see, I was like, I picture like Dolly Parton, 9 to 5 as well.
No, it wasn't.
That surprised me.
But me, much like every single white guy in the United States, had Zach Bryan in my top five.
God damn it.
But that's a whole another conversation.
As someone that had Taylor Swift in her top five, I really can't say much. So
Zach Bryan, I think, is the male country version of Taylor Swift. Not as popular at all. Like, much like every girl had Taylor Swift, every guy had Zach Bryan this year. For better or worse, you know.
That's going to be a little TikTok like
15 minutes. Let's get to our episode, shall we?
Yeah. Cue those campfire sounds.
Speaking of fandoms, I don't know. I don't know.
Speaking of anti-heroes, that's one of her songs.
Yeah, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Love you, Swifties. All right.
Still need to make that Swiftie Bigfoot shirt.
Every who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch who lived north of Whoville did not.
All right.
I bet you can't guess who we're talking about.
No idea. All right. I'll do this and then I'll do my little precursor for this episode. So during this time of year, there are many people we know getting into the Christmas spirit. From caroling to shopping and even enjoying the evenings by a warm fireplace, it seems that there's just about something for everyone to enjoy the holiday season. But what if I told you that there was one creature that wants nothing to do with the holly jolliness of Christmas and would rather go out of his way to ruin it for all those who enjoy it? So we had to postpone recording because this illustration took way longer than I thought it would. So for all our lovely audio listeners, if you want to come check it out, you can go to our website, loring.com, and check out our blog. You can go to our Instagram, look at it, or you can come watch the YouTube video. It's just like Grinch cocktail in a little cute ornament glass bottle.
Are we going to learn what's in a Grinch cocktail?
What I would do, what's that blue alcohol drink?
Like blue Curacao or Caraco, however you say it?
Yes, I would do like a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would do a bunch of orange juice. So then it goes that green color. Naturally, because I refuse to use food coloring for my drinks. And then I would make it a mimosa by adding champagne.
Mm. Nice.
So
I think the Grinch cocktail is just straight Jägermeister. Nothing else.
The two different personalities.
just bottle of Jägermeister with some like green apple liqueur
it's,
for color.
Or gin. I feel like it would be a very ginny drink. Well, this week we will be talking about the anti-holiday hero, the Grinch. So, though legends of this grumpy Christmas hero have been around since the 1960s, this holiday icon is an absolute favorite and continues to win the heart of many, no matter how small. Now, time for my precursor. Many of you may be like, the Grinch? There is no folklore to the Grinch. This doesn't quite seem like it fits in the podcast, and to that I say tough shit, because we both really love the Grinch, and this was the highly voted topic request, and it's fun, you know, we're tired, the holidays are here, I'm scrambling with writing notes, and this was just a fun break for me, so I followed the format. We're still going to go into history and origins, like always, but you know, sometimes, like, reaching for modern legends that were created by a person are just fun, you know?
Yeah, I'm running on 3 hours of sleep, some coffee, Red Bull, and Mountain Dew. If I want to talk about the goddamn Grinch, I'm going to talk about the Grinch, okay?
We're an indie podcast.
Goddamn it.
We get like a few dollars every month from our Patreons, and that's the thing that's keeping us
going. The folklore purists are trying to silence us.
The folklore purists will say the Grinch is a real monster.
He's a cryptid to me, damn it.
Oh my god, I want that on a shirt so bad. That's the next sticker. He's a cryptid to me, damn it. Oh, man. Okay, so let's get into this hot mess that we're so excited for. So, what are the origins of the Grinch? So, this Grinchy Christmas anti-hero actually isn't inspired by true events, kind of like what we were bringing up, but are all the result of one man's creativity. Precursor, I don't know a lot about Dr. Seuss. I've heard, like, rumors about him, so we're not going to get into him.
He has some problematic stuff. You know, we're talking about the Grinch, not the author.
Yeah, so I think
yeah.
Put him to the side. Think of him like you think of J.K. Rowling. Like, it was just used as the muse to give us this great thing. You know, it's just the transfer from the gods to earth and like,
there we go.
Then it's fine. Okay. So the Grinchy Christmas anti-hero, is inspired by a man's creativity. The first mention of the Grinch appeared in an illustrated poem by Dr. Seuss called The Hubub and the Grinch, which was originally published in May of 1955 edition of Red Book magazine. In the short poem, the Grinch isn't so much of a holiday icon as we know today, but is actually a salesman trying to get the Hubub to purchase some wire. So This was just this. So he's just a salesman in this, a really pushy salesman, which is completely different. And this is just the start of the Grinch's tale. So the following year, Theodore Seuss, Giselle, so Dr. Seuss, had inspiration for what would soon be a timeless classic strike. And it just, inspiration hit him at the weirdest time. So while brushing his teeth on Christmas morning during 1956, he noticed he didn't feel right and thought about how grouchy or quote-unquote grinchy he appeared in the mirror. He noticed that something had gone wrong with Christmas, but he realized this wasn't anything wrong with Christmas itself, but it was him.
What are some good examples of a, much like a sleigh full of presents going down the mountain at 100 miles an hour, it hit Dr. Seuss.
What else we got? Much like the reindeer on Santa's sleigh knocking grandma out and causing a lawsuit, hit.
There we go.
Hit her. You know. Like the inspiration hit Dr. Seuss that morning.
I like it.
That's all I got for festive references. R.I.P. grandma. She turned out fine. So this moment, excuse me one second.
We should do a grandma got ran over by a reindeer episode. It's talking about grandma.
We could do that as a liquor and lore.
Grandma. Mm. We should each write our own version of grandma got ran over by a reindeer.
You want to do that for the holiday special?
Sure. We're going to have to write just a Christmas song, I think.
You take a Christmas song and you make it into, give it a little old razzle dazzle. Give it a luring razzle dazzle. I did it last year. Random
new like Gen Alpha terms that are getting thrown out there, like grandma got grittied by the Rizzler.
Last year I did 'Twas the Night Before Christmas for us. I think this year you should do it.
Grandma got ran over by the Rizzler walking home from Kai House Christmas Eve. Rudolph said that gat was skibbity. But as for me and Grandpa, we agree.
If that's the video people know us for, I'm going to yeet the podcast. Oh, man. All right. So, hit, realization, smack in the face kind of moment led to the inspiration and motivation to rediscover the joy of Christmas that he lost that day. So this led to the creation of the famous How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which was published later in 1957. So this story took off quickly and became a holiday classic, and it wasn't long until it started to be adapted into different forms of media. So the first adaptation takes place in 1966 when it was made into an animated television holiday feature. This led to the great popularity of this anti-holiday figure, so much so that fans even requested Dr. Seuss create more stories with this delightfully Grinch's fiend. Now, this was all new knowledge to me. So the Grinch found his way into an animated short titled Halloween is Grinch Night, which first aired in 1977. So this is the picture for it. And he looks like a little bit more chaotic in it to me. But the story tells how the Grinch brings absolute chaos to the Who's of Whoville during Halloween, only to be stopped by a local boy by the name of Itcheriah Who. There we go. Then 5 years later, the Grinch, who is also seen in a special crossover titled The Grinch Grinches the Cat in the Hat. In this story, the Grinch goes out of his way to torment the Cat in the Hat.
God.
I didn't.
My favorite part of that special is when he says, "It's Grinching time," and then he transforms into the Grinch.
I haven't seen it. I don't doubt you for a second. You could be lying. You could say anything to me now, and I would believe you 100%.
Morbius shows up. It's crazy.
The void opens. So both of these Grinchy retellings even won Emmy Awards for Outstanding Children's Special and Outstanding Animated Programs. So
It's possible it only won because we've all thought about wanting to beat up the Cat in the Hat. And he did it. So they're like, give this man a medal.
They're like, this is the one. This is, we've all needed this. Art.
Thank you, Grinch.
They're like, there is a God
in there. Yeah, finally.
So it's clear the Grinch was a star, and it wasn't long until Hollywood came to snatch him up. So during the 2000s, a live-action comedy titled How the Grinch Stole Christmas became an absolute sensation and has continued to be a holiday must-see during the Christmas season. From animation to live action and even a music and video games following soon after, Mr. Grinch is surely a grumpy holiday icon that reminds us all the importance of the holiday season, and the story is to continue to be told during every Christmas season to this very day. So, again, this character is made purely from inspiration he said from himself. Maybe one day he woke up and he saw a green, grumpy Christmas creature and he's just not telling us to. So we could think like that too. And then it makes it more cryptid-y, I guess. But the shifting gears. So the word meaning Grinch was created by Dr. Seuss and first appeared in the 1953 book Scrambled Egg Super. Since then, Grinch became a word to explain a grouchy individual during the holiday season. He is even at times referred to as Mr. E. Grinch or Ethan. And that's because Ethan is the name his two mamas gave him in the live-action movie, which I absolutely love. And now that we know a bit about the origins, I'm going to hand it over to Ryan to tell us the famous little Dr. Seuss story of how the Grinch stole Christmas.
Right. And this is probably everyone's first time ever hearing this story. So buckle up, grab yourself a nice Grinch juice, and settle in. All right. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve, hating the Whos. Staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm, lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now hanging a mistletoe wreath.
Sounds like he's getting mad they're getting laid.
It's like, oh, these goddamn mistletoes. And they're hanging their stockings, he snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here.
There you go.
Then he with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming, I must find a way to stop Christmas from coming. For tomorrow, he knew, all the Who girls and boys would wake bright and early. They'd rush for their toys. And then, oh, the noise. That's the one thing he hated, the noise. Noise. But honestly, I'm kind of on his side.
He's just made really good points up to now. Good.
God damn it. And then they do something Then the Whos, young and old, would sit down to feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast. Feast. They would feast on Who pudding and rare Who roast beast, which was something the Grinch could stand in the least. And then they do something he liked least of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand, and the Whos would start singing. Sounds a lot like Utah. They'd sing and they'd sing and they'd sing. The more the Grinch thought of this Who Christmas sing, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop this whole thing. Why, for 43 years, I've put up with it now. I must stop this Christmas from coming. But how?
You know, the very fair point in this whole thing is the fact that he's put up with this for so long. Because years. I think I enjoy Christmas, but there's traditions I get sick of after 2 years, you know, mm-hmm. like I gotta switch it up. But if it's the same program, over and over again. And I think children singing is adorable, but you can only hear so many children choirs in your lifetime. So
then he got an idea, an awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful, awful idea. I know just what to do, the Grinch laughed in his throat, and he made a quick Santa Claus hat and a coat. And he chuckled and clucked in a great Grinchy trick with his coat and his hat. Look just like Saint Nick. All I need is a reindeer, the Grinch looked around. But since deer are scarce and there's none to be found, did you stop the old Grinch? No, the Grinch simply said. If I can't find a reindeer, I'll make one instead. So he called his dog Max, and he took some red thread, and he tied a big horn on the top of his head. Then he loaded some bags, some old empty sacks, on a ramshackle sleigh, and he hitched up old Max. The Grinch said, giddy up, and the sleigh started down towards the homes where the Whos lay a snooze in their town. All of their windows were dark, quiet snow filled the air. All the Whos were all dreaming sweet dreams without care. When he came to the first little house on the square, this is stop number one, the old Grinch Claus hissed, and he climbed to the roof, empty bag in his fist. Then he slid down the chimney, a rather tight pinch. But if Santa could do it, then so could the Grinch. He got stuck only once for a moment or two. Then he stuck his head out of the fireplace flue, where the Who's little stockings all flung in a row. These stockings, he grinned, are the first to go. Then he slithered and slunk and smiled most unpleasant around the whole room, and he took every present. Pop guns, bicycles, roller skates, drums, checkerboards, tricycles, popcorn, and plums. He stuffed them in bags, and the Grinch very nimbly stuffed all of the bags one by one up the chimney.
You know, it's a fun little food for thought. If the Grinch was purely taking the noisy gifts grandparents gave, this would be a completely different story.
All parents would be on the Grinch's side.
They'd be like, oh, no.
And the popping toys, but he left the bike.
He left the quiet blocks and the quiet felt book. Oh, and the non-noise kitchen appliances. Oh, that's great.
Wow, what a guy.
They're like, oh no, the Grinch took your drum set and your flute. Wow.
Oh no. Thank you, Mr. Grinch.
There's no what's it called? Xylophone anymore? What? Crazy.
Then he slunk to the icebox. He took the Who's feast. He took the Who pudding. He took the roast beef. He cleaned out that icebox as quick as a flash, while the Grinch even took their last can of Who hash, which is weed for those wondering.
I was going to be like, that doesn't sound kosher.
I don't really know what Who hash is, but yeah, it's just a theory.
It's not kosher and it's weed is what we got from it.
Then he stuffed all the food up the chimney with glee, and now, grinned the Grinch, I will stuff up the tree. That's and the Grinch grabbed the tree and he started to shove. Then he heard a small sound like a coo of a dove. He turned around fast and saw a small Who. Little Cindy Lou who was not more than two. The Grinch had been caught by this tiny Who daughter, who'd get out of bed for a cup of cold water. She stared at the Grinch and said, Santa Claus, why? Why are you taking our Christmas tree? Why? But, you know, the old Grinch was smart and so slick. He thought up a lie, and he thought it up quick. Why, my sweet little tot, the fake Santa Claus lied. There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side, dear. So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it up there, then I'll bring it back here. And his fib fooled the child, and he patted her head, and he got her a drink, and he sent her to bed. And when Cindy Lou went up to bed with her cup, he went to the chimney and stuffed that tree up.
Nice.
Then the last thing he took was the log from the fire. Then he went up the chimney himself, the old liar. On their walls, he left nothing but hooks and some wire. And the one speck of food that he left in the house was a crumb that was even too small for a mouse, leaving crumbs much too small for the other Who's mouses. Wait. Then he did the same thing to the other whose houses, leaving crumbs much too small for the other whose mouses.
There you go.
I'm bad. It was a quick past dawn, all the who's still in bed, all the who's still a snooze when he packed up his sled. Packed it up with their presents, the ribbons, the wrappings, the tags, and the tinsel, the trimmings. The trappings 3,000 feet up the mount of Mount Crumpet. He rode with his load to the tip-top to dump it. Poo-poo to the who's he was grinching, graciously humming. They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming.
Damn.
They're just waking up to know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the who's down in Whoville all will cry, boo-hoo. That's a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear. So he paused and the Grinch put his hands to his ear. And he did hear the sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad.
It's Utah, this is the place. It's the Pioneer Festival music echoing through the forest.
But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry.
It definitely was.
Couldn't it be so? But it was merry. Very. He stared down at the Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook when he saw what a shocking surprise. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came.
Well, that would be so nice.
Somehow or another, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came over out ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till the puzzler was sore. And then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whistled with his loads through the bright morning light. And he brought back the toys and the food and the feast. And he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beef.
Beautiful.
Wow. I feel like your heart growing 3 sizes would kind of fucking hurt. Could you imagine? You're just sitting there and it's like, ah!
So he actually has a heart attack and he dies.
Yeah.
And then he sees this in his afterlife as his redemption. Because he would have done it.
Makes more sense, actually.
This is pretty much... The what is it called? The bibliography of the Grinch.
Yeah.
From his point of view.
So heart grew 3 sizes that day, which an enlarged heart is pretty bad.
And what really happened is the Grinch croaked on the sleigh and Max came down with all the presents and now they worship a dog. Yeah. It's like a whole thing in Whoville. Mm-hmm.
And even though Christmas may not come from a store, unfortunately, the money we use to pay our rent does. So we're going to go on a quick commercial break. We'll be back soon. Okay, bye. Hey there, campers. Ryan here. Did you know that Kimmy let me talk her into doing another podcast? That's right. Introducing the Creepy Camper Podcast, our once-a-month pod where Kimmy and I watch a scary movie, her a little more reluctantly than me, and break down the deeper meaning behind it. So come check out the newest Alluring Network show, the Creepy Camper Podcast, at alluring.com or wherever you find your podcasts, and let's get creepy.
Welcome back, campers. We hope you enjoyed that little break. We are now going to talk about the appearance and the history of the Grinch. So, appearance-wise, the Grinch is a humanoid who-like creature standing much taller than the other who's of Whoville. I can't tell you the height because who's are supposed to be like smaller than the dandelion, if I remember. Oh. Like, a Who village is smaller than the smallest dandelion seed or something like that.
Horton Hears a Who, they're literally on a leaf or a flower. Yeah, okay.
So
they're tiny.
But he's big in comparison to the other ones. So
if they're like a speck of dust, he's like
a speck and a like, quarter of dust.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
that's it. That's
yeah, this is a Who, right? This little
right there. So he has a furry and disheveled green-yellow coat and a pear-shaped body with a large pot belly. His face appears cat-like, and he has a snub-nosed, crooked, unkept teeth and a wicked smile. Now, you may be asking yourself, why is the Grinch green? So, in the original How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the storybook in 1957 was printed in black and white and would have some spots of red for a nice, beautiful contrast. Hence, the Grinch was originally black and white. And this wasn't until the holiday TV special in 1966 did the Grinch get his fabulous green color. At the time, television had just switched to color. So naturally, they wanted to make it the holiday special. Vibrant, full of color, yada yada. So professional colorists played with some greens and came up with this unique, sickly, pale, yellow-greenish color that was referred to as Grinch Green at the time. This is where he got his famous coat and is now just a part of who he is as a character. It's really cool for all my color theory design listeners on here. If you want to learn cool things about colorization with TV at the time, you can go down a rabbit hole, but it was cool like how they would mix the colors and how it was kind of an accident the way they got it and they fell in love with it. So just like a fun little midnight spiral for all you folks. So behavior and abilities. So the Grinch has been described as bitter, ill-tempered, methodical, and cold, which is due to the fact that he has a heart two sizes too small. He is also known to make a big deal about how much he hates the Whos and he hates Christmas. But with all this aggression, he isn't walking around just croaking people left and right or causing great physical harm to anyone. He seems to have some compassion and humanity and is known to cause many pranks that really inconvenience everyone during the holiday season. His compassion can also be seen for how much he cares for his four-legged companion, Max. So, legend says that the Grinch found him while searching through Christmas trash and people tossed him aside because they were bored of him. So, the Grinch rescued him and saved him and took him home. This sweet dog is always by the Grinch's side as he takes him to cause chaos amongst the Whos and even has a home for Max in his hidden lair at the top of the mountain. So he's one of those people where he wants to be more malicious than he actually is, if that makes sense. So
it does.
It checks out. All right. Okay, so now on to some fun things surrounding the Grinch. So the biggest question you may be asking yourself is, how the hell does the Grinch hate Christmas so much? Like, what trauma is a result of this holiday hatred? Because we know trauma results in holiday hatred. So it seems that no one quite knows the reason as to why he is so against the holiday season, especially since the original tales of him never go into any of his backstory, but it seems the Grinch has always had a part of him that just really isn't about the holly jolliness of the season. So thanks to the 2000s live action comedy, we get more insight of why the Grinch has his set feelings for the season. So it tells how the Grinch is adopted by two Who women that raise him, showing him the magic of Christmas. So even as a baby, the Grinch is shown causing chaos and doing things that aren't so Christmas spirity compared to the other Whos of Whoville. Of course, he's the only one of his kind in Whoville. So there's that little bit of a difference. And it's just, he just is a little bit more chaotic with it. So it just seems like Christmas isn't his cup of tea or hot cocoa to fit with the mood of the episode. And that is until he sees an adorable young Who girl named Martha May Hooverier. So wishing to impress her, he gets into the holiday spirit and creates a one-of-a-kind gift for her. But sadly, due to not boobies.
Well, all technically, yes.
Well, yeah. No, that was a good
part. You seen Martha May's Who
She was like six in this background.
Oh, in the 2000 Grinch movie?
We're talking about the childhood memories.
I'm talking about adult Martha May.
First of all, we would all give a piece of ourselves for adult Martha May. Let's make that very clear.
Abundantly clear.
Holly, jolly mistletoes. That's why all the Who's are hanging mistletoes, folk.
They're like, maybe Martha May is going to walk by.
They're like just waiting for the perfect opportunity. Yeah. So where was I? I had such a good line and I got so distracted with titties, which is... just checks out at this point. Okay, wishing to impress her, he gets into the holiday spirit and creates a one-of-a-kind gift for her. But sadly, due to bullies, puberty, and a very unsuccessful quest involving a razor, the Christmas season becomes especially sour for the Grinch. So it's also it's also important to know that the Grinch spends 53 years alone in solitude, only having the company of his dog Max towards the end of it, and he's surrounded by garbage from the only place he knew as home. It seems like the Grinch is both a mix of people who mistreated him and not being into the holiday season and a deep desire to cause some chaos since he was born. So it's a little bit of everything that affects why he doesn't like it.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that checks out.
Yeah, again, this section is me really just trying to find things so we can talk about the Grinch for an hour. All right, so next is the moral of the holiday season. So one thing that makes How the Grinch Stole Christmas so timeless is the moral of the story. While working on the story, it took Dr. Seuss a few drafts to get an ending he desired. That's because he didn't want it to be overly religious and wanted it to be more about the joyous vibes of the holiday season. This is one of the reasons the story ends as all the Who's dining on roast beef together. And it's really important to know at the time, like, a reason, like, it won so many awards is there wasn't a lot of competition for stuff. And all the holiday stuff was, like, Christian in, like, the U.S. You know what I mean? So this is one of the first things that didn't end in, like, the mother and the son, you know? So
yeah. And Jesus came.
And then Jesus appeared, or Christ, or they'll like be like, it's instead of Saint Nick, they're like, it's Christ like, you know? It's like, this was definitely the U.S. doing something a little different, and people were here for it. So during the holiday season, it is easy to get swept up in the expectations to make it the quote-unquote best. So this idea of it's more than just being selfless during the holiday season, it's about the true meaning of Christmas and how it can change even the grumpiest Grinch. So it's the idea that the Christmas spirit is a state of mind and a joyous feeling of sharing and spending time with friends and loved ones. So we're here for a good time to just enjoy it with people we care about. And that's so different than a lot of the stories ending with religiousness. Okay. Now, that kind of goes to this segment. Oh, Ryan.
Did you do a science in the church for the Grinch?
Yeah, I did.
What the fuck? Oh my God.
It is time for the science for the church. And Ryan, you have
literally no fucking clue.
You have
I'm going to go to the church just because you're talking about, like, religion, I guess.
Oh, man. Today's a great day. It's science.
I'm not getting mad at that one.
I'm getting sneaky with it. After our season break, I'm going to be so good at these. Just you wait. You won't even see it coming.
Speaking of Jesus. Speaking of Jesus. The church, Ryan.
I'm on those transitions today. So this week we got science, and we're going to be talking about the Grinch's heart. I pulled it all together.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Because the man had a heart attack. Yeah. And no one.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I knew you were going to say something about him croaking because his heart. And I was like, I'm just going to hope I know him well enough that this all works together. And it did. It's great. I love this so much. So the Grinch is said to have a heart two sizes too small, which could be very influential on his physical and mental state. It theorizes that the physical issues can lead to grumpiness since the heart is so small it has to work twice as hard.
Naturally.
And like
that's what Dr. Seuss, he was a doctor.
Yeah, it's in the name. So now I really reached for this one, but there is a scientific explanation to why the Grinch's heart was able to grow three sizes and he didn't die immediately. And that's because the Grinch is probably a snake. A Burmese python's heart is known to rapidly and significantly grow right after they eat a meal. So, plus with the Grinch described to slither around like a snake, it seems like he's nothing more than a furry type of python. So, at the end of the day, the Grinch was just grumpy because he didn't have any holiday spirit. So he didn't have any holiday spirit and was grumpy because he just wanted some food. And which makes sense because he lives surrounded by trash. So.
Well.
That's it. I don't need to do any other show after that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even argue with the logic. It makes perfect sense.
Right, this.
I think for an episode title, How the Grinch Survived a Heart Attack. that's a good one.
Good. I'm going to type as we go to your next.
Well, anyway, it's time for everyone's favorite segment that I always plan hours ahead of time. It's Modern Takes with Ryan. So I have the Grinch. I mean, it's already modern. I don't know how else to describe it, but I do have some fun little facts. Oh. Kimmy, did you know that the Grinch is not only the number one highest grossing Christmas movie of all time, but also the number four top grossing movie of all time?
Oh, I didn't know either of that.
Mm-hmm. So this is not adjusted for inflation. So, like, I'm sure with inflation, it's probably like A Christmas Story or something like that. But the 2008 Grinch that came out, 2018, like the cartoon version.
Okay.
That has made $512.9 million. This is just the U.S.
You can't even spend that in a lifetime, Ryan.
No. And then coming in, so I'll just go in order. So number two is Home Alone at $476 million. Home Alone 2, $359 million. And number four, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the 2000s Jim Carrey one that all us Zillennials love.
So good.
With $345.8 million. So between the two, let's crunch some numbers. 512 plus, what did I say, 345? Coming in at a whopping $866 million from the two movies alone.
I can't. That number is so unattainable to me.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure adjusted for inflation, it's probably in the billions.
If I have more than like $60 in my bank account, I feel like I'm like, that's a lot. It, bro. For all the people that thought Ryan and I were swimming in dough doing a podcast.
Today. Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah.
I can get sour cream on my Taco Bell. Yeah. We're recording
this on rent due day, so guess what I had.
Guess what? Oh yeah. Oh, that hurts how accurate that is.
Box baby, let's go.
Man, it's just my brain can't even compute that. You know?
It's a lot of freaking money. And that's the figures as of December of 2002. So those numbers may have changed a little this last year, but
yeah, I feel like Elf would be up there. I don't know. I feel like Elf really has a hold on us.
Do you want me to read the whole list? The top
Where's Elf on that?
Okay, so we have The Grinch, Home Alone, Home Alone 2, Another Grinch, Christmas Carol, Polar Express, and then Elf.
Okay.
And then number 8, The Santa Claus. But I will say there's a jump between number 7 and number 8. Elf is 225, Santa Claus is 190. Everything else is like a really close bar, and then Santa Claus is like look, you know, Tim Allen, he needed to make money somehow. Fuck that guy.
I can't wait. There's going to be one day I just know you run into Tim Allen. And and I just hope to God I get to see the interaction from a distance. I always
carry around my medieval dueling pistols. I can and a white glove so I can
slap him for a duel.
Challenge him to a duel. Winner takes all of the Santa Claus royalties. This is a call out.
Do a 50-50 bet. Just flip a coin.
No, it's a duel. Survivor gets the royalties of the Santa Claus franchise.
You know what the thing is? You have to survive. You have to survive a Santa Claus movie marathon, because I know for a fact it's going to be just as hard for him as it will be for you.
Probably.
Oh man. Okay. Let's go to our Loring alignment chart so we can get out of whatever.
Well, we have announcements first, though.
Oh yeah. Oh shit. Announcements. Time for the lore report, and now you do the wolf. Wolf howl. We need to do liquor and lore so you can really get that out of your system.
Good news. The 12 Days of Krampus is live and happening right now. I'm going to give a little teaser. Ooh, kinky. Head over to our YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok to watch me open. Oh, I'm reading Kimmy's part, but that's fine.
Yeah, just go with it. My
advent calendar.
You knew my voice.
And a chance to enter in our 12 Days of Krampus holiday giveaway.
Ryan just thought of every possibility of what could go wrong. I calculated it and decided not to.
There was only one possibility that worked out there. I didn't want to take it.
Calculation in real time, and I was like, you know, I roasted him for a good hour before the show, so this is a free jab, and he was like, nope, I'm gonna be the better person.
Sometimes you need to take the high road and not shit on your friend
during a live stream.
It's before the live stream starts, and just call them out on everything they did wrong for the past 10 years. Anyway, holiday special, what's happening?
So nothing says holidays like a good old holiday special. So don't forget to head over to our YouTube, click subscribe, and tune in for the upcoming Alloring Holiday Special live stream. During the live stream, we'll be announcing the 12 Days of Krampus giveaway winners. So stay tuned. You will get these, a little a card deck, as this is. But Ryan says more about what this entails. So make sure you're following us on social media. I will have a post that says like giveaway, and that will be the one you will enter. But again, subscribe to our YouTube. Go to youtube.com/@alluring. And we are just right there, ready to have a holly jolly time with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now time for the alluring alignment chart.
Oh. I think we're all in agreement here. I mean, the man's heart grew three sizes, you know? I thought about putting him at Lawful Evil, and I sat there for a long time. Like, that'd be pretty funny. But
he chose to be accurate.
Yeah, because, I mean, I get Lawful Evil. The man is tired of... I saw a TikTok, and it was a guy, like, pretending to interview the Grinch. Like, and he was like, I love music. What the Who's do is not music. Have you seen their instruments? Because it's, like... a giant, like, oversized trumpet and drums. He's like, there's no way they enjoy it. He's like, they call me the bad guy. They're playing it all night. And I was like, you're right.
The Grinch makes more sense as an adult. Like, when I was younger, I'm like, he's a jerk. And now I'm like, he's completely in his rights. Like, no one physically got hurt, you know? Like, maybe a little, like, emotional distress.
Did you die, you know?
Did you die? But did you die? No. Oh, man. Well, sweet. That's beautiful. I think that's going to change for our next episode. So, you know, just enjoy the bliss of being on the same page for a moment in time. But, yeah, we have our takeaways. Mm-hmm. We have to do. Do you want to go first this time? I feel like I've been going first for a second.
Yeah. Martha May Hoover's ahugas can make your heart grow three sizes.
God damn it, Ryan. I don't even know what to say. I think some people just need a dog. I don't know for this one, Ryan.
Oh. She's just thinking about Martha May. Look at that bi panic setting in.
I know. I really feel it in myself. Ooh, no, I got a better one. It's hang up mistletoes everywhere.
True.
Emphasize on everywhere.
My entire house is just covered in them, just in case Martha May comes over.
Listen, any opportunity I will take.
You take it.
I will wear green. My house will be green.
Don't listen, Dolly.
Oh, man. Okay.
Let's cover her ears.
Let's get out there here before go. Dolly hears right. you.
Oh, shit. I think she's coming. Oh, no.
Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. This has been alluring.
Have a Hooverville Christmas and a Hoopy New Year. And this is our last episode of the year, right?
No, we have one more.
Oh, well, then don't have a Hoopy New Year quite yet. We'll see you one more time before 2024.
Bye.
And that's all for this episode of Alluring. Thank you for taking a seat around the campfire and listening. If you want more Alluring, go check out our website, alluring.com. That's alluring.com. You can also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Discord. If you have any questions, folklore, cryptid sightings, or urban legend you would like us to discuss, email us at alluring@gmail.com. If you like this show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. It's the best way to help support us and spread the word. Special thanks to Lane Hammonds for our music. If you'd like to show your support and have access to bonus content not posted anywhere else, visit our Patreon page today at patreon.com/alluring and help us keep the firewood burning. Bye-bye now.